Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After the astrologers had left Herod, the angel of God suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph with the command, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you otherwise. Herod is searching for the child to destroy him." Joseph got up, awakened Jesus and Mary, and they left that night for Egypt. They stayed there until the death of Herod, to fulfill what God had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my own." After Herod's death, the angel of God appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt with the command, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and set out for the land of Israel. Those who had designs on the life of the child are dead." Joseph got up, awakened Jesus and Mary, and they returned to the land of Israel. Joseph heard, however, that Archelaus had succeeded Herod as ruler of Judea, and Joseph was afraid to go back there. Instead, because of a warning received by Joseph in a dream, the family went to the region of Galilee. There they settled in a town called Nazareth. In this way, what was said through the prophets was fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." The good news. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Insanity runs in my family. It practically gallops. That's a line from the classic play Arsenic and Old Lace. I wasn't talking about my family, although, anyway. No family has perfect mental health. But we all want to believe that insanity took a break with the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We want to think that they lived together in perfect, genuine harmony, that they handled the challenges and demands of family life with wisdom and patience and understanding, that they were models of mental health and holiness. We want to believe all that, but of course we can't prove it. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke only give us a few stories about this family, all written about 90 years after Jesus' birth and influenced by the politics of the time. These stories were not meant to be historical accounts. They are expressions of faith. Still, we want to believe in the holiness, the non-craziness of this family. So we do. In today's gospel, the Holy Family is depicted as a moving target, with Jesus going into Egypt and out again like a new Moses. This family was on the run, trying to outmaneuver Herod, who was threatened by the Christ, seeing him as a rival that he wanted dead. It was madness. If today were not a Sunday, Catholics would be observing the Feast of the Holy Innocents. What innocents? In Matthew's account, Herod, quote, "ordered the massacre of all the boys 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and its environs," end quote. A massacre, in order to be sure to eliminate Jesus. Mary's husband, like the Old Testament Joseph, had to pay close attention to his dreams in order to make just the right moves to get his family past that danger. There's a lesson there about the value of being a dreamer. Your dreams, your ideals are important. They can bring you safely home to your most authentic self. As the body of Christ, we want to believe that his parents enjoyed some kind of divine protection from making parenting mistakes. I should stop saying we. The truth is, I want to believe this story. I want to believe that this fleeing, asylum-seeking family embodied the values mentioned in our first two readings today. I need to have my faith strengthened by the example of a family trying to outrun a big dose of crazy, dodging danger and under terrible stress, yet enduring it all with love. I want to believe that such love is possible among God's people, that this often cruel and sadly divided world can still produce holy families, sane families. But if you take seriously the humanity of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, you find it perfectly plausible that they sometimes must have gotten more than a little bit neurotic. Don't we all? Go to Mark 3:21, and you will read about how Jesus' family, no doubt out of love and concern, wanted to, quote, take charge of him, thinking that he had lost his mind, end quote. It actually says that right there in Mark. Did mental illness run in his family? Or gallop? Surely there had to be some who listened to Jesus who thought he was losing it. He kept saying things such as, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of slander against you. Blessed? Really? Love your enemies and do good to your persecutors. Forgive those who wrong you 70 times, 7 times. Lend without expecting repayment. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn and offer the other. Sounds crazy to me. The more we try to love like that, the more folks will think we ain't playing with a full deck. About 25 years before Matthew's gospel, a disciple of Paul composed the letter to the Colossians from which today's second reading comes. I think it's one of the most beautiful passages in the entire New Testament. What a poet that disciple was. He called his faith family God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a holy family. He wrote that they should be characterized by heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, forgiving one another as God forgives. He wrote about how love binds all that together. Let Christ's peace reign in your hearts, he told them, since as members of one body you have been called to that peace. Dedicate yourselves to thankfulness, he advised, and sing gratefully to God from your hearts. I know you already heard Lillian beautifully proclaim those exquisite words, but I can't help saying them again. They tell us to dream, as Joseph did, of the holiness that is possible for us. They spell out what values and ideals can give us hope. They are the virtues that can keep up, that can help us to navigate the craziness of family life, to get us past the problems, the King Herods along the way that threaten to kill our spirits. I see before me another holy family. Not perfect, of course, but holy. And sometimes a tad on the crazy side. As a community dedicated to the Beatitudes, we try to put on love, as the Colossians author put it, to bind together all those virtues that got Jesus, Mary, and Joseph safely home. This faith family has an important task and joyful task to do today. We are to honor one of our own. Just after our post-homily discussion, my wonderful co-presider, Debbie, will be commissioned to serve us as a presider. Debbie often calls me brother, and I like to address her as my dear sister. It makes sense because we are part of the same chosen holy family, the body of Christ. You know, it wasn't that long ago that openly LGBTQ plus persons had very few options if they wanted to choose a faith family. And many of those options did not seem very welcoming. So we had no choice but to form intentional communities, such as this one, that feed our souls while keeping the door open to more conventional church folks. After all, they are also our siblings in the family of God. But the radical and inclusive love to which today's readings call us is experienced whenever there is what our Colossians author called heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Those are LBC values extended beyond sexual orientation or gender identity. In Debbie's case, they transcend the three L's. Lesbian, lawyer, and Lutheran, oh heavens. I love the alliteration, but I should note that lawyer and Lutheran belong in the category of former. Debbie would tell you that. Still, they are part of her delightful uniqueness. We commissioned Debbie, whose very name tells us so much about her character. It comes from the Hebrew word Deborah, which means bee, as in honeybee. In Jewish culture, bees are associated with the qualities of hard work, diligence, and sweetness. You know, a busy bee. Sounds like our Debbie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Working hard for the good of our community. The root of the name is also from the Hebrew verb davar, which means to speak, especially from the heart. Speaking up on God's behalf, it's what prophets and preachers are supposed to do. That's also what we get from Debbie when she gives a homily, or serves on our social justice committee, or the Journey to Understanding committee, or the liturgy committee, or the board. A busy bee indeed. Her namesake, Deborah, from the book of Judges, is mentioned in one of our Eucharistic prayers, and she is the only woman in the Old Testament who is called both a judge and a prophet. She was noted for her wisdom in working to judge and resolve disputes. She was also a war hero, a truly tough lady. You can read about her in the fourth chapter of Judges. Finally, it is a blessed coincidence that we commission Debbie in this Christmas season and on this Holy Family Sunday. She is a Christmas gift, a hardworking and beloved member of our faith family, a consensus builder, and a prophet who speaks from her heart, working to contribute to a more just world. Because of people such as Debbie, it's not insanity that runs or gallops in this family. It is holiness. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Your thoughts?